Springfield's Talk 104.1, and welcome to a Thursday's edition of Awesomeness. Showers, thunderstorms today, heavy rain at times. That first alert forecast is coming up. We are streaming live, KSGF.com. Tomorrow's Friday. We will be having our Friday Road Show at Scramblers. Republic Road National, sponsored by Queen City Motors. I mentioned yesterday that today I would talk a little bit on this. There was a piece in the Springfield News Leader, legislature to limit sunshine law, increase local control, and it's on the city's desires for the state. You know, the city, you and I, we have these, well, I live outside the city of Springfield now. But those that live within the city limits, you've got these council persons that represent you, and then they take some of your tax dollars to pay somebody to go up to Jeff City and tell Jeff City what they want Jeff City to do. And one of the things they're very worried about is that the state of Missouri may shift towards having municipal elections around the same time or on the same date that other elections are held. As they occur now, it's in the springtime. All other elections of significance when it comes to electing people occur in August and November. You have your primary in August, and then you have general election in November, and this happens every couple of years. And so the argument is, well, why not just have them at the same time? It'll save lots of money, and there's no reason really not to. Well, there are reasons not to, but they're not reasons that are of benefit to the average citizen. It's incumbent protection to have it where it is. And so I thought I'd talk a little bit about that and explain why it is that the city does not want those elections moved out of springtime. I'm also going to play audio. Joe Rogan, who is a, he does podcasting now. I remember Joe Rogan. I believe primarily, or the first time I was introduced to Joe Rogan was when he was on a show called News Radio. It was a show that had Phil Hartman and Andy Dick. When Phil Hartman passed, John Lovitz would take over his position. There were a number of other people that when you watch it, you're like, oh, yeah, I recognize that actor, actress, but you can't really think of their name. One of the Kids in the Hall guys was on the show, and Joe Rogan was on the show. And he is a podcaster. I believe he identifies in some capacity as to the left a little bit, at least on certain issues. But he is, in the last couple of months, or has in the last couple of months, come under the spotlight because he received COVID, and among other treatments, ivermectin that was prescribed by a doctor. Now, if you get your news locally from outlets like the News Leader, you think that that's something that is given by veterinarians under the table as a horse dewormer to people who are conspiracy theorists. But that's not the case. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who is the medical person on CNN, went on Joe Rogan's show. And Joe Rogan did what journalists should do. And he confronted Gupta, saying, your network lied about me, lied about my COVID, lied about what I was taking. Why do you think that is? How do you feel being on a network that knowingly lies about COVID, specifically my case? And Gupta acknowledged, I mean, he wasn't real comfortable about it, that what CNN was reporting regarding ivermectin is not true. It's a lie. And I wanted to play the audio for a couple reasons. One, because it also is answering to the lie that we see outlets like the News Leader print, where they claim that ivermectin is just some horse dewormer in the context of COVID, when that's not true. It's a lie. And Gupta essentially admits that. But also because Joe Rogan is doing what journalists should be doing when it comes to these particular issues, instead of simply becoming the mouthpiece that rewrites press releases or memos from different government entities. Also, the shooting of Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt on January 6th, their Judicial Watch has done Freedom of Information Act request stuff. And here's what's interesting. They sort of backdoored it, I suppose. Not in an unethical or illegal way. But the Capitol Hill law enforcement, they are exempt from Freedom of Information Act request stuff. Congress, of course, exempted their personal police force from the public having any ability to require any sort of transparency. But because of the nature of chaos with January 6th, there were other law enforcement entities involved, including Washington, D.C. police, which is subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. And there were interviews that were done from them because they happened to be in the mix on things and looking into the shooting. So that information was required to be turned over with a Freedom of Information Act request. And I'll just give you the headline here. What they found out is that the law enforcement individuals that were there, interviewed as witnesses, were all pretty consistent in that she didn't have a weapon. She wasn't even anywhere close to threatening the life of the individual who put a bullet in her, taking her. And that First Alert forecast, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service. Flash flood watch for areas south of Springfield from 7 tonight until, wait a minute. Tonight's not 7 tonight until Thursday evening. All right, so we're in Thursday, right? Is that correct? So I don't know if that is supposed to be until Friday evening or if that should not have been there at all. I'll find out for you. Just don't worry about it. It's all going to be good anyhow. We are expecting showers, thunderstorms today. Heavy rain at times, high of 70. A chance of showers, storms tonight, 60 for a low. Showers, 62 tomorrow. Sunny on Saturday with a high of 62. It is 63.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1. Let them girls, man, they make your
heart skip like. A1 Custom Car Care, all of your car care needs, fleet needs as well. It's something Dustin Atwood, who hosts the show A1 Custom Car Care with our very own Sarah Myers, he's been really promoting that because it is very important. And if you have a fleet, you know what a cost that can be to you. And this isn't the sort of time that you need a vehicle going completely down, as there continues to be a shortage, difficulty getting vehicles. And the cost increase, massive inflation that's hitting the auto industry like so many others. So you want to make sure that as best as possible, you can maintain the life and efficiency of your vehicle. And a great way to do that is partner up with A1 Custom Car Care. Talk to them about how they can help you manage your fleet so you don't have to worry about, you know, unnecessarily having a vehicle or two or even more go down unexpectedly, costing you money that you don't need to be spending. A1 Custom Car Care, all of the endorsement or all of the contact info is under Nick's endorsements at ksgf.com. The News Leader has a piece regarding the city and areas that it is hoping to influence the state legislature. And one of the areas or a priority, as it is described in the news leader, of the city is to oppose any attempt by the state to move local elections from April to the fall or introduce political parties into municipal elections. This is something that they worry about because Secretary of State John Ashcroft has said moving municipal elections more in line with the schedule and partisanship of the state's other elections may boost turnout. It will boost turnout. Now, it won't boost turnout in any significant way, I don't believe, for the general elections themselves, but it will boost turnout. The number of people that would then be voting for those municipal elections would be higher. That is exactly why the city of Springfield does not want that to happen. They also don't want it to be partisan. In other words, I'm running as a Democrat, I'm running as a Republican, because there are a lot of extremely left-leaning individuals on that council that get elected because people don't know that they're left-leaning. And while in this part of the state, there are many people that are essentially Democrats. They vote like Democrats. Their ideology is that of Democrats. You know, tax and spend, increase taxes when there's an opportunity, expand government when there's an opportunity, but they run as Republicans. And so you might think to yourself, what's the big deal? Why don't they just lie like these other Democrats who lie in order to get elected? Well, if that's something that you're accustomed to doing, it's an easy thing to do. But if you are an individual who runs in the leftist circles, you are part of that leftist world, to all of a sudden start running as somebody who is a Republican, even if it is just to get elected, there's just something instinctually that's difficult for those individuals who've not done that before to do. There has been a desire by some folks for quite some time to have this partisan, the local Springfield elections is partisan. In other words, you need to declare what party you're in. I'm somewhat indifferent to it only because I don't think it's going to give any particular insight, because they'll just lie about what party they belong to. They'll claim whatever it is they need to claim in order to get elected. And unfortunately, people do rely too much on just the party label. You'll have somebody that is for smaller government. They are for lower taxes. And they'll see an R next to their name. And next thing you know, they're voting for somebody like Lincoln Huff, who, you know, well, he's a Republican, so he must be for lower taxes and smaller government when he pushes big government programs and tax increases whenever he has the opportunity. And that indicates to me that people don't do enough research to really determine whether these people are big government tax and spenders or not. And that reliance on the label is something that too many people bank on. And they know that, and they manipulate that. They manipulate people's ignorance and unwillingness to really research this stuff, and so they'll just lie about it. Like I said, I'm not opposed to it. I honestly don't. Part of me thinks that it could potentially do more harm than good. As it stands now, some people who do decide to participate in local elections as a voter, if they have no idea and they want to know anything at all, they do have to do some research. If there is an R or a D next to their name, they don't have to do any at all. They're like, oh, I'm going to vote for that person because they're a Republican, or I'm going to vote that person, you know, they're a Democrat. So what little research some people may do, they won't do any at all. It could potentially be counterproductive. The part of this, though, that you need to understand is why they don't want it to occur during the other elections. And the reason being is because more people turn out and people are paying more attention to what's going on during those election cycles. There are numerous people when it comes to municipal elections that don't even know elections are happening. If you don't listen to a show like this or really pay attention, it's easy to have no concept that there are elections going on, let alone even have any concept of who these people are on the ballot. They like it that way. They like it that way because they have a built-in voter base. If you are on the council, you have a say, you have a vote in how much money gets put, you know, you're voting on budgets. And those employees know that. Those department heads know that. Now, this doesn't mean every single employee is going to vote for an incumbent. But there is an overwhelming built-in voting base that is there, and they know that they're there. And what we also consistently see in local municipalities is, and it's illegal, pressuring employees to vote a certain way, whether it's on issues or candidates. And when they do get caught, they say, oopsie daisy, sorry, we didn't mean to, because they know nothing's going to happen to them. I mean, every election cycle, when there's any sort of contentious issue on a local level, I constantly get feedback from employees who say, yeah, you won't believe they're putting this out. They're saying this. They're using taxpayer-funded paper or digital in order to promote this. But they know that they've got the majority of those votes. And not just those employees, the department heads, the people under them, but their families. So the lower amount of general public that doesn't have a direct financial tie to the council in terms of, you know, the budget component, the better it is for the incumbents. It's also much, much, much more difficult for challengers. So in other words, I'm somebody that I don't have the backing of these organizations that are all part of the club in Springfield. I don't have the free press coverage because I'm a council person. I don't have all of that stuff built in. I'm just some schmuck. It's much more difficult for me to get elected if the elections are in the springtime when the general public is least likely to come out to vote. Look, this isn't something that is debated as to whether or not springtime elections have lower turnout, which in turn helps incumbents, versus whether or not you had it during the regular election cycle. Everyone knows that this is the case. The numbers show it. And the attempt to do whatever they can to make sure that they have the lowest voter turnout possible for the local elections is an attempt to keep in place a system that makes it very, very, very difficult for any newcomers or challengers to beat out somebody from that good old boys club. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Queen City Motors talk and text line is 447-KSGF. Let's go to Dr. Lilly. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be on.
Well, good.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, all right.
One of the big problems with getting so many moderates elected to office is the Republican Central Committee does not vet the candidates that are going on the primary ballot.
You're talking just in general.
Just in general.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, at the state level, when you go to, there's a certain day in February that is the first day to sign up for the state representatives and senators and the statewide office holders. And at that, on that day, you have to pay, if you want to be on the Republican ticket, you got to pay them money. Well, they just accept anybody. So they don't do any vetting either, mm-hmm. and the local central committees don't vet them. A few years ago, Christian County got a majority of conservatives. They really worked and got a bunch of conservatives on there, and they had an election where Ray Weider wanted to be, and they said no.
Yeah, he had been, just for people to know the background, he's a left-wing nut, but he was in an area, he knew he had to run as a Republican in order to win, and so he had, as a state legislator, and so that's what he had done, and then whenever he was termed out, I think it was a county position that he was wanted, in the primary, and so that's when they stepped up, and they're like, no, this guy's a left-wing nut.
And they said, no, well, he just went around him and went to the county clerk, mm-hmm. and the county clerk just put him on the ballot.
Right. Yeah.
So the real problem is that the local
commissions,
the commissions, which are the local, it's precinct by precinct that has a male and a female that's on the county commission and or the central committee
rather,
and they are the ones that set the rules for the party for everything.
Yeah, and it could go either which way, because if you have a central committee that is run by people that are constitutional and conservative, and you have that vetting process, then you do help eliminate the likelihood of some left winger lying about what party affiliation they are in order to get elected. But on the other hand, if it gets controlled by moderates or elites, then they may do the opposite. Well, you're too much of a right wing nut, so we're not going to allow you to run. And then put the official stamp of Republican on somebody that's more left leaning, like a Ray Weider.
Well, and sometimes there'll be a number of people running for the primary, and they will only let mm-hmm. one of the moderates in. Yeah, if there's a bunch of conservatives, let them all on the primary ballot, and they'll cancel out each other's votes, and the moderate ends up winning.
Yeah. And, of course, so the question many people have is, well, then how do we remedy that? You got to get involved locally.
You got to get involved locally.
Yeah, you definitely do. And it does take time, and it's not easy, and it's not always fun, but there are people who do it, and they're the ones that end up making these decisions.
Right.
Yep. Dr. Lilly, thank you, sir. Appreciate it greatly.
You bet.
All right, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Got a traffic update.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Don Carricker, I want a great homeloan.com. I actually read a text from him, not related to I want a great homeloan.com, but I know he wouldn't mind. He's talked about this is why the NRA is so important. I think he meant MRA, Missouri Republican Assembly, I believe, is so important is because they will vet the people they want to run with the R next to their name and find the best one to endorse in the primary. I want to make a few other comments regarding that issue coming up. But I do want to remind you, when it comes to your home loan, I fully, 100%, wholly, gosh, for almost a decade, I suppose, have been telling you about Don Carricker. And it's because of my own personal experience with him. It's because of the consistency of 5-star satisfaction with detailed reviews that are in line with everything that I believe you ought to be able to get with that home loan process that generally is sold as, we could do it fast. You can just get online and do things fast. The amount of complications that can come along with that. Look at it this way. The complications, the regulations that are involved today, thanks to government, with that home loan process are somewhat similar to the complexities of flying an airplane. Now, would you rather get on a plane with a pilot that did a real fast test in order to get his pilot's license online, or a pilot that had spent years accumulating experience, fine-tuning his skills, and has a track record of success over and over again? I think we both know the answer, and that's the difference between Don Carriker, his team with iwantagreathomeloan.com, and so many others. All his contact info is under Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com. First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. We got showers, thunderstorms, heavy rain at times, high of 70. Today, 60 for a low tonight with a chance of showers and storms. Tomorrow, showers 62, sunny on Saturday with a high of 62. Regarding the city's desire to not have the municipal elections, in other words, when you go to vote for city council, to keep them in spring, it is because that's when the lowest voter turnout is. They already have a built-in base of voters with a majority. Generally speaking, if you are on the council and you control budgets and you've got relationships with people who work in the city, you are going to have a much more favorable turnout of those people who vote for you if you have some sort of authority over them in that capacity, and their families as well. And so that's why they love those elections to be in the spring, when most people don't go out to vote, except for those that are most likely to vote for them. The reason this has come up is because the Secretary of State Ashcroft has floated the benefits of having it during the general election time, you know, your primary in August and general election in November when everybody else is running. Number one, you can save money. And number two, you get a higher turnout. And isn't it the left that's always talking about the importance of getting a high voter turnout? Aren't they the ones that are always out there saying, just vote, vote or die? We got to get as many people to vote as possible. See, this is key insight into the left. They don't want as many people to get out and vote as possible. They want as many votes cast as possible that they believe will help them. When you start talking about increasing the vote from the general population, that would diminish the likelihood that they could get reelected. All of a sudden, that is something that they're not so interested in. And this is case in point. The city manager has said that adding partisanship to Springfield's election could hinder city government's effectiveness. And this is, some people want to know, what is your party affiliation? And he said, you know, at the local level, our focus is generally not as much on large attitudinal issues and more on direct service delivery. He says that this, you know, it would just hinder city government's effectiveness. Now, how? How is it that if those council members, let's say, that exist on the council now, are transparent about their political affiliation, is that going to make it more difficult for them to do their job? How? You see, they get to throw out these sort of absurd statements, and they never have to back it up with any evidence or facts or common sense. The idea, what they want you to believe is, well, Republican and Democrat, I mean, that's for issues like abortion, and we don't deal with any of that sort of stuff, so it really doesn't matter. We don't deal with the sort of things that you might have the philosophical differences between those who are Democrat and Republican. Now, listen, though, that being said, to some of the other points in the story, the city has also had several specific priorities not addressed by the legislature this year. These are some of the cities of Springfield priorities. Allowing Springfield to vote on a local or on a hotel tourism tax like we see in Kansas City and St. Louis, because if there are any cities in Springfield that we, or in Missouri that we should try to be more like, it's St. Louis and Kansas City, of course. So in other words, one of the things that the city is wanting to do is allow for an additional tax increase in the city of Springfield that at this time isn't there. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a partisan issue. Now, there's a caveat to this, and I'm going to get to it in a moment. Also requiring DNA samples to be collected from every citizen over 18 if you are arrested for a felony crime. Not convicted, but just arrested. Capping the amount of interest that can be charged by payday loan or car title loan lenders. So in other words, government, again, coming in and telling businesses what they can and cannot do, how socialism. The Springfield News Leader lists priorities of the city successfully passed this year. So these are things that the city was supporting, they were behind, and they're very pleased happened to the people of Missouri and the people of Springfield. One, the 5 tax increases at the gas pump that will come in over five different years, the first one going into effect just weeks ago. An internet sales tax, and the expansion of government's ability to see what it is that you and your doctor are doing in terms of prescription drugs, aka the prescription drug monitoring program. So you have 6 different tax increases here. The city's like, yes, this is awesome. And the expansion of government and the further erosion of doctor-patient privilege. I don't consider those attitudinal issues. See, the city wants to tell you, listen, having it become partisan and Democrat and Republican, all our people really do is sort of day-to-day operation stuff where philosophical beliefs about role of government don't really matter. Yet their biggest successes that they tout are just that. They're not about day-to-day operations. They're about increasing your taxes. They're about increasing the role of government in your lives. That's not day-to-day operation stuff. It is patently dishonest to claim that the reason partisanship should not be introduced into Springfield council elections is because those positions are just more mechanical and there's no ideological component to it. That's a lie. Now, that being said, I go back to the point I made in the last half hour on demand section sponsored by GunTech and Nixa, and that is a problem we have in Missouri is just because somebody runs as Republican doesn't actually mean they're different than Democrats. In fact, every left-wing legislative success that the News Leader is pointing out that the left-leaning city of Springfield is happy about was pushed through because Republicans wanted it to be pushed through. Prescription drug monitoring program, internet tax, 5 different tax increases at the pump. And ultimately, that falls on the voter. That's the fault of the voters who claim that they're for smaller government, who rail against Joe Biden for making gas prices more expensive, but then turn around and support a governor who increases taxes at the pump, who signed it in. Don't make any mistakes about this. Biden and left-wing policies certainly ultimately lead to an increase at the pump, but at least Biden can say, hey, I didn't put my signature on something that directly did it, as Parson did. And as long as there are Republican voters that run around and somebody like Tax Hike Mike can raise taxes, raise them again, raise them again, raise them again, raise them again, and still be celebrated as some sort of fantastic conservative Republican, then Republican and Democrat doesn't make any difference. I mean, in all honesty, that's the most honest argument the city could make against making it partisan, is that it really doesn't make any difference. I mean, if you're worried about higher taxes or bigger government and that's why you're voting Republican, you're wasting your time because they're giving it to you now. So it doesn't really matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. Caveat, the few that are a pain in the butt to the Republican Party, you know, the Eric Burleson's, the Mike Moons, those are some of them locally, and there are others who do push back against prescription drug monitoring programs and tax increases, but they're not in charge of the party. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I am Nick Reed.
Weekdays at 2 on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Question on the Queen City Motors Talk and Text Line. Can't the city politicians declare themselves to be independent by political party? This is what others do, Bernie Sanders and so forth. Yes, technically. So here's the thing about political parties that most people don't understand because of the way that our political system and culture has evolved over time. What people think is that belonging to a political party is like having a favorite sports team. You just kind of get to pick whichever one you want, and you can put on the jersey whenever you want. While, you know, in terms of, let's say, running. Well, there's a difference between being a fan and being a player. Just because you put on a jersey doesn't mean you can walk on the field and play with the Chiefs. You have to get approval, right, by the Chiefs to play or to be a spokesperson for them even. Because that is an owned name. That is an owned trademarked logo. That is owned. So a person can't just go around using it to their benefit. Political parties are the same way. They are there are these entities that exist that are officially declared with the state or municipalities if need be. As a person, you can declare yourself anything you want. You know, oh, what are you? Well, I'm nothing, or I'm an independent. But in order to run, you have to have permission from the party. Just like if somebody wants to go speak in an event, they can't just go and claim to be speaking on behalf of Mercy Hospital or KSGF, or you can't do that. You would have to get permission by the institution to speak on their behalf. So to run as a constitutional party or a libertarian or Republican or Democrat, you have to get permission from the party. Now, the point Dr. John Lilly was making earlier is, for the most part, it gets rubber stamped. The central committees that exist that give this permission, at least on the Republican side, they let anyone that says, oh, I'm a Republican, there's a fee you pay, okay, there you go. So you kind of buy the name. There are instances in which there are attempts to prevent that from happening, and that's what he was referencing in Christian County, Ray Weider, who was a left-winger, but he ran as a Republican, and so he would get elected in the state house, but then he was running for a county position, and there were enough on the Central Committee that said, this guy's a left-wing nut. We can't have him running as a Republican, and there was sort of a conflict there. So, yes, a person can run as an independent if they did not want to identify themselves as Republican or Democrat, as long as the official independent party, which I guess Missouri has one. I don't know. Some states have an official independent party. In some states, independent just means that you aren't affiliated with the party. So you've got that component in there as well. Tom Mart saying, how about this? Get the primary folks out of my pocket. And that's another argument, and I tend to agree with that taxpayers should not be footing the bill for the parties to decide whom it is that's going to run on their ticket, aka the primary elections. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
DC council member who said Jews control the weather is running for the mayorship of D.C. I don't know why he even needs to run. He should just get it handed to him. It seems that the more anti-Semitic you are as a Democrat, the more popular you become, a.k.a. the Ocasio-Cortezes and the Tlaibs and some of the others. And so this may be the key to the mayorship in Washington, is to say that, you know, those evil Jews are even controlling the weather. They don't just control the media and the banks. They control the weather, too. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. News.